This is the Real Talk University podcast, where your hosts, Andre and Christian, explore success stories outside of the classroom.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to season two of Real Talk University. It's been a while. We haven't sat down to do a formal introduction since probably last May or April, so we're happy to be back, and we're happy to introduce our very first guest of season two, J.D. Frost, CEO and founder of J.D. Frost CPAs in Tennessee. So J.D. is a really, really amazing guy. He's revolutionized the accounting industry. He was really cool to sit down and talk with. He gave us a lot of valuable information about anyone that wants to start their own business or go into accounting. And we're just going to give you guys three quick takeaways from the episode so that you know what to expect when you listen.
Yeah, guys, so that's one of the key things with season two of this podcast is we're just going to highlight the three biggest takeaways that Christian and I learned in this episode so that you guys can kind of know what to listen for. So the first takeaway that I really caught on to was how social media could play a large role in your industry, no matter what industry you're in. So J.D. Frost is an accountant, and accountants, like he mentions, aren't really sexy, if you would say that. But he made it sexy, as he said, through social media, and social media is not used by many accountants and many accountant firms, but it's proved to be a key separator in what he does. So that was a major takeaway, and I think he talks about it in length for like the back half of the episode, so be sure to stay tuned for that part.
Yeah, and another point I want to mention is like what Andre said about accounting being kind of a boring stereotype of an industry. You can really revolutionize any industry you're in. Like, you don't have to like stick by any norms by any means. It's like the saying where if you're in a room, don't match the energy, try to set the tone. So JD is certainly setting the tone for the accounting industry for the future by being a very, very progressive and more involved accounting firm with his clients. He seeks to maximize their business growth as a whole rather than just do their accounting numbers.
Yep, definitely. And the last takeaway, our third takeaway from this episode is when JD talked about how he went into starting his own company and startup. And we asked them about what it was like, how he, you know, dealt with fear, because I feel like the biggest roadblock for a lot of people our age and a lot of people listening to this is fear to start, feel failure, fear of judgment. And he really just gave us a perfect response to that, just saying that fear is normal. And if you're going to go out to do great things, you just have to expect it and deal with it. And you're just going to have to listen to the rest of the episode to hear his answer. But it was a great, great response to that question. So thank you again, JD, for coming on the podcast. We're really excited for you guys to get a chance to listen to it in its entirety. And as always, guys, we're on Instagram. We're posting a lot on LinkedIn now, so be sure to find Christian and I on there for some unique content. But you could find us anywhere, and we're always looking to hear from you guys and to engage with you guys on a deeper level. So never hesitate to reach out, and please enjoy this episode. How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning into all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's bit.ly/RTU ebook. EBOOK. Get your free copy today before this offer expires.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
This is Jonathan Frost.
Nice to meet you. I'm Christian.
Hey, Christian. Who else is on here?
Let's get right into it, if you're all set.
Yeah, this is Andre. Sorry.
Andre. Okay, cool. Can y'all give me a little bit of backstory about why in the world you asked me to do this, and who are you guys?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm Christian. I go to Binghamton University. It's a state school in upstate New York, about three hours out of the city. We started the podcast in October just to interview high-level entrepreneurs such as yourself. I became familiar with you when I discovered Cody Kearns on Instagram, and it turns out that he was from the same area as I was. So
yeah,
I attended his event that he threw back at his hometown. And I mentioned your name because I'm going to school for accounting as well, and I'm interested in entrepreneurship. So I figured our views might align a little bit. He connected
with you,
and then we just set it up. So
cool. Awesome.
Here we Thank are.
You. Yeah, of course. So this is, this is just going to be like a 30-minute podcast interview. And the basis of the show is to educate college students about opportunities outside of the classroom, and doing that through stories and practical advice that you personally use to get started with your business. So whenever you're ready, we'll just get right into it. And if you have any questions beforehand, just let us know.
Yeah, that works. So Christian, you were talking before, and this is Andre that was just talking. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Yep. Okay.
All right, so we could just start with your background. Where did you go to college, and when did you first realize that you wanted to start your own business?
I went to school at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and I realized I wanted to start my own business probably ever since I can remember. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, and just kind of knew that was something that I wanted to do. I had my own like lemonade stand when I was growing up. So it's just something that's always been in my blood.
That's really cool. I actually come from similar background, just having a family of entrepreneurs. So I have to ask, did you have any ventures or anything that you started in high school or college? And then also okay, cool. We'll get right into that. And then personally, I also did the same thing, and I had a lot of support from my family just because they've had so much experience in entrepreneurship. So like, how did that help you to do whatever you're going to talk about?
Let's see. I had a lawn care and gutter cleaning business when I was in high school. So that's where I first started. And then from there, I had a lot of support from my family. Not as much financial support, but, it does make a difference when you do kind of start out with kind of growing up in that type of environment. I think it can be a good thing and kind of a bad thing, because they've got their ways that they know worked and are proven that they worked. And then for me, I kind of want to do things a little bit differently. So there's a little bit of, we have our different opinions about how to grow a company. But that also kind of leads to a kind of cool, a cool dynamic that allows me to kind of try some new things that were different than the way that that my family has done them in the past.
Yeah, and I think that just describes entrepreneurship in general, is just like realizing that there's no cookie cutter pattern to do something,
exactly, especially
when it's not in the same industry or whatever else. So that's really cool. So what were some of the steps that you took to start your first business? And I mean, time management was a big thing for me, especially back in high school, in college even now, just because managing school and starting a business is not the easiest thing to do. So if you could touch on that a little bit as well, that'd be great.
To start your business, I mean, time management is huge. The ability to maximize your time every day and to make sure that you have a routine that is moving the needle every day in your business is what's critically important. So identifying those activities that really drive revenue for your business and only doing those activities is what is critical for new business owners and existing business owners to kind of reassess and know whether or not they really are doing those critical activities.
Right. So I think that's especially important in college, because for anyone that wants to go into entrepreneurship and pursue a degree, I think that it takes a like exceptional amount of discipline to not only get your schoolwork done, but then make progress with your own business. So could you just kind of take through your experience in college with working on entrepreneurship and going towards your accounting degree?
Yeah. So, I mean, in school, it just was, I mean, time management is what it goes back to. And so the key thing in entrepreneurship and what I noticed with successful entrepreneurs and business owners is that they all do have that extreme discipline. They find freedom in discipline. They find freedom in routines. They understand that boundaries create the freedom, and boundaries create the opportunity to earn the income that they want to. So I think in school, I was always very scheduled. I had my classes in the morning and I went and worked in the afternoon. And so when then when I got done working in the afternoon, I had my specific time where I studied, and I only studied in the library. I only met certain groups, you know, the study groups that you have to be a part of. I only met them at the library. We didn't meet anywhere else. That was just what I knew worked. And so as I got further and further along in accounting, especially, I mean, with a degree that's as complicated as accounting, it required that long discipline studying habit in order to do well in accounting. And even in school, I didn't even really do extremely well based off of my peers, but I had the discipline. And the discipline is what is enabled me to eventually pass the CPA exam, because I had a certain way that I had to study. And I submitted to the fact that the discipline was the most important part.
Right. And then upon graduation, did you go right into starting your own firm? Did you work publicly for accounting? What was your path right after college?
Yeah. So I worked for another accounting firm that was a regional firm, got some experience there. Then I went and worked for my family's business for 2 years, realized I didn't want to go into the family business, and then went back to public accounting. I believe that you need to have experience working for somebody else and under somebody else before you can truly appreciate working for yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. So from what I understand, you transitioned from working for yourself in college to working for someone else after you graduated. What was that transition like? I mean, like, I feel like a lot of people would struggle with that, maybe in a sense of like ego.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But, you know, I was working for myself doing yard work, you know. For me, that just wasn't where I wanted to go. And I knew I needed to find an example and learn what accounting really was like in the real world. Because for especially for accounting, and I would say most of the majors that you have in college, it's nothing like it is in the real world. I mean, what I do today is completely different than what I learned in school. And I actually, here in Chattanooga, I actually go back and I help teach some of the classes so that, you know, those students understand what the real world really is like.
Right. So after you left public accounting, what were like the major difficulties of starting your own firm in terms of uncertainty, trouble getting employees, trouble finding clients, things like that?
Sorry, say that question again.
Yeah. So when you left public accounting and decided you wanted to start your own firm, what were some of the biggest challenges you faced?
Oh, man. I mean, the biggest challenge in starting your own company, obviously, is generating revenue, right? I mean, that's something that is critical and has to happen. I was always more of a rainmaker when I was working for the accounting firm, was able to generate business on a pretty regular basis. So that was not a very difficult thing for me to begin with. But as I grew, learning how to scale and grow at a pace that did not cause me to burn out was probably the most challenging.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the same thing with entrepreneurship too, is because, I mean, like you said, when you go into business for yourself, there's really no one else to rely on. And you kind of just have to lay the whole foundation yourself. So especially early on, there's definitely a lot of cases of burnout. So did you have like any routines or systems in place to like help you with that? Or was it kind of just something that you learned as you went on with the business and adjusted as you built your team?
So, I mean, it's really something that I've learned over a long period of time. It's something that has been a lot of trial and error. And I think entrepreneurship requires trial and error. Entrepreneurship requires you to try a new thing, adapt whether or not that's going to work, and then change quickly. So entrepreneurs have to have the ability to change at a rapid pace and to not avoid change.
Yeah, that's so key. So especially in accounting, where most of your friends probably in college after they graduated and got their CPA went to work for other people, was that like, was there any fear involved when you kind of made that leap of faith to start your own thing? Or did you have like enough confidence built up from your prior experience to go into business for yourself?
I had enough confidence to go into business for myself. I mean, I had to make that decision first. You know, when you're going into something that you're really not too sure about, you've got to make a decision. And once you make that decision, then you got to commit. And once you've committed, all that's required after that is action. And lots of action. And so I was not scared to start my own company. I never have been scared to start my own company. It becomes scary sometimes. And whenever that fear starts to creep in, that's when you've got to lay out a plan and execute on it. And so typically now, whenever I get into that place of fear, And the growing and scaling something is something I'm learning right now. Like, I don't have all the answers, right? I mean, I know I don't have all the answers, but I do know what things I have that have worked and what things haven't. And since I have that ability to adapt and change quickly, it breeds success.
Right.
And so whenever that fear starts to slip in, I like to tell entrepreneurs, whenever that fear starts to slip in, ledger out those things that are causing you to have that fear, and then create a solution for it. Write it down. Like, what's amazing when you start, what the fear is created by all the thoughts going on in your head all the time. So if you get those thoughts out on a piece of paper, the fear starts to go away.
Damn. Yeah, that's a really cool idea.
Exactly. I feel like from personal experience, the biggest fears I have are just like things that I have yet to do. So once you actually just get through and do them and figure it out on your own, that's when all the fears go away. You develop confidence. And then obviously doing that repetitively builds momentum. So that's definitely
huge. Yes, exactly. I mean, you have to face the fear. You've got to just jump into it. You got to realize, okay, this is something I'm not too, like, should I go further into debt? Or should I just focus on paying down debt? Like, I'm scared of not growing, but I'm also scared of incurring more debt and trying to grow. What do I do? Okay, well, instead of just thinking about it, thinking causes you to be stale. And so instead of thinking about it, just write down the two scenarios. It's so simple. And,
yeah.
You know, I talked to certain people about it, and they're like, that's, you know, That's great advice, Frosty, but I mean, it's kind of, you know, I knew that. Well, I mean, do you practice it? Do you really do it? Because people tell me, they're like, man, you act all the time. You execute, you move, you've got things going all the time. Well, the reason why is because it's easy for me, because I practice writing things down that are causing fear and I push through it.
Exactly. I just want to touch on something related to that, and that's the concept of failure, because obviously every time you take action, you're not going to be instantly successful. So I know the term is cliche in the entrepreneurship field, like, failure is okay, it teaches you lessons, but what like experience and advice would you have for anybody about failure in terms of your own business ventures?
You are going to fail. It's going to happen. So plan to fail. The sooner that you realize that you will fail, the more successes that you'll have, because you won't be afraid to try the new thing. You won't be afraid to try the new process, the new system.
Definitely.
So yeah, I'm a big golfer. I'm a big golfer. Okay. So whenever I go out and play golf, like, there is no way. Well, I guess maybe there is a way. I have had rounds without a bogey. Are y'all golfers by any chance?
Yeah, we do. We actually both do golf. We're huge golfers.
Yeah, awesome. I'm a big golfer. So, like, if I sit on the first tee and I think about the fact that, man, I hope I don't have a bogey. I hope I don't have a bogey. I hope I don't have a bogey.
Right.
What do you think is going to happen?
You're going to bogey.
I'm going to bogey the hole. Like, it's going to happen. So if I go up on the tee and I stand up on the first tee and I go, all right, I'm going to have some bogeys today. I'm going to have some birdies. But the idea is to have more birdies than bogeys.
Right. Yeah, I relate to that like perfectly, because not to cut you off. Like, if I'm on the eight, like the ninth tee box and I'm playing nine holes and I know that I'm like shooting really well, I'm like only a few over, that's just going to get right to my head and I'm going to be like, okay, I need to shoot a five to get a 42 or something like that. I'm just going to come out and shoot a seven. So,
yep, exactly. That's what I love about golf is it's a mental game. It's required to have your head right. And I think business is a lot like that, in that you have to get your brain wrapped around the fact that failure is going to happen. And so when it does, like when you make a bogey, you know, that's a failure in golf. You expect it and you move on and you birdie the next hole. You immediately change the action that you had on the last hole and you fix it and you do it better the next time. Because every day in entrepreneurship, you're just trying to get better and better and better, knowing that some days you might not, but you've got the actions that are going to allow you to get better each day.
Definitely. I feel like you just have to lean into failure and fear.
Yes.
The two things that people shy away from. So could you pinpoint an example in starting your accounting business, similar to like you did with golf, is when you get a bogey, you turn it into a birdie on the next hole. How does that, like, could you pinpoint an actual example in your business with something like that?
That's a really good question. I can. I recently had a, and you know, I don't know how forward I want to be about this, but I recently had a partner that I was in business with, and if y'all have been following me, I am, my brand is Rainmaker, right? Stop operating, start rainmaking. And so even here just recently, I stopped operating my company. I relied on another person completely, wholeheartedly, without any verification of that they were doing the things that I thought were supposed to be done. Okay. And that was a mistake that I made. And it's not about that, not about them, not about the fact that they did anything wrong or whatever. I just relied too heavily on another person and didn't put the proper procedures and systems in place to allow for us to grow and scale in a more successful manner. And so I look at that in my career as a bogey. And so now the way that I'm changing our culture, the way that we are having our daily rhythms, the way that we meet together as a team at 8:30 every morning, the way that we meet with our departments at 9 o'clock after that for 30 minutes, the culture that we're creating now is this culture of accountability and structure and fundamentals. And so I've realized I didn't focus as much on the people that were working with me as I should have before. So now I stub my toe, you know, I've created a little bit of a ripple in our reputation as a firm because of decisions that I made in the past, and they were my decisions. But now I realize that how to change that and how to grow in a better way, how to grow in a more scalable way by investing completely in our people and training them each day and showing them how to think, helping them understand what is really important to clients. And I just didn't do that before. And now that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And I think the most important takeaway from what that entire story and that answer to the question is extreme ownership. As an entrepreneur, and when you're running a team in a business, you have to take ownership for decisions rather than putting the blame on other people.
Yes. Yeah. I think
that's the difference of, you know, a ripple effect or a complete failure. So that's really
yes. Cool. Yeah. And it's up to you and it's up to me to really determine, like you're saying, if that's a failure or just a speed bump. And I'm choosing to say it's a speed bump. So, and that's going to happen, right? Just like we know we're going to make a bogey on the golf course. It's going to happen.
Exactly. I just want to switch gears really quick because I feel like the accounting world in general is just like put away, put off as like a boring field, something that you're just going to mind.
Yeah.
But then yeah. as I followed you, I've noticed that you're like a really progressive firm. Your mindset on accounting and your visions on accounting are much different. I mean, from what I've seen with Cody's Instagram, you like to keep things modern with accounting, keep it interesting. So I just want to like ask you about your approach to that. Like, where did you come up with that? And then how it's worked out with you in terms of going that route rather than being the typical accounting firm?
Yeah. So when I started my firm, I wanted to have something that was completely different. I wanted to be one of the most progressive accounting firms in the country. And I wanted not only staff, but also employees, staff, owners, clients to have a different experience than what they'd had in most accounting firms, because accounting really has this, it has this mentality to, you know, to be this stereotype, to be boring, to be blah, you know, most people, I don't want to go talk to my accountant. I wanted to create a company that allows you to go, man, I can't wait to talk to my accountant, because they make it fun. They make it interesting. They show me, they educate me about how, if I know about how the accounting works in my business, how I can start to predict trends in my business, how I can start to predict what my revenue will be, what my costs will be. If I continue down this same path, I'm going to generate $30,000 of cash flow every month. And the only way to really know that is through accounting. And so I wanted to create a firm that would allow business owners to start to learn to think like CPAs and understand if you start to think like that, you're going to dominate your industry.
That's super.
And so what's been difficult about that is when I first started my firm, I ended up looking just like the firm I came from, right? Because that's all I really knew.
Yeah.
And until I started with social media and these videos and really kind of discovering, you know, kind of getting back to why I originally started the firm to be completely different, that enabled us to be that more progressive firm, because I got back to what are the things that I hear clients talk about that they don't really experience with traditional firms. And so that's what we kind of hit hard. That's the different service aspects that we spend a lot of time on, and our focus is to show the difference between how we operate and how those traditional firms operate. And yeah. where we're focused more on becoming a partner with the company, with the owner, with the entrepreneur, to show them what we know. And at the same time, yeah, we want to have fun doing it. You know, I want people to look forward to talking to us. We don't want to be a burden.
Yeah, that's sweet. And that goes back to one of the major themes of our podcast, which is how, you know, social media is really just transforming business and entrepreneurship. And I feel like, especially with, you know, a field like accounting, a lot of people would just negate the fact that social media could help you to build an accounting firm. And you've obviously completely disproved that and proved what Christian and I have really been preaching this past year. So how have you utilized social media, and how has it helped you to expand your business and to continue with those themes of being a different and an accounting firm that stands out from everyone else?
Yeah, I mean, so the whole point of social media is to connect with people. That's what I think most people businesses don't understand quite yet. That social media is literally walking into a stadium of 10,000 people, 20,000 people, how many followers you have, and saying hello to them every day. So it's really mixing the traditional networking skills with a bigger audience. And so every time I go to a lunch at Rotary, or every time I go to a networking event, I mean, do I really expect to pick up a client each time I go to that networking event? No, not like never. All I'm doing is going and making a connection with people. And then eventually, if I make a connection over and over and over and over again, over the course of, you know, with Rotary, we go once a week, over the course of 2 months, well, then all of a sudden people are going to know me well enough, and they're going to say, oh, I know you do some accounting, JD. Like, why don't you come help me do my tax work? Awesome. That's the way it works. I don't understand why people think and business owners think that just because I join social media and I make two or three posts that I should immediately get business from it. You don't immediately get business because you've met somebody two or three times. You get business because you've met them 100 times. And so this mindset, this change is required around social media. And I don't know why it's this perception that it's going to happen instantaneously for your business. The reason why we've been able to make it work is because I know this is a big network and it requires daily routine deliverables and daily routine action in this way of communicating. And so the way that we've made it work is because we make it a daily routine. So we're that vested, we're that invested in the relationship with the people that are watching us on a regular basis, and they just have to do business after seeing it so much. They're doing the reaching out. They're seeing us at that next networking event, which my networking event on social media is basically my story every day on Instagram. They're reaching out and saying, man, I got to use you. Here's my phone number. Like, I've seen enough.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like today in social media's age, like, instant gratification is something that people come to expect. Like, just because you're on there, you're instantly going to be rewarded because, like, with the power of an iPhone, you can look something up at any moment's notice. You can contact someone at any moment's notice. So rather than garnering, like, long-term relationships, people just look what's in it for them in the short term. And that's actually horrible because the long-term relationships are what's really going to help benefit both your business and whoever you work with's business and develop a good relationship in the process. So,
right. And that's like any relationship. Why do people all of a sudden assume social media, it's going to happen in 2 months? It's not. It's going to happen over years. The best relationships that I have right now are ones that have been for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Exactly. And I've been seeing those people at golf tournaments, at cocktail parties, at Christmas parties, at lunches, at the nonprofit, you know, benefit. I've been seeing them all the time at those different things. And social media, what I think has allowed us to be so successful is one, there's not too many CPAs out on social media that are willing to put themselves out there and test the waters of professional services on a social media platform. So there's not a lot of competition there. But two, it allows me to follow up with people on a more regular basis. And if you're already good at traditional networking, you will kill social media, no matter what industry you're in.
Yeah. Right. And I think for us, at least, a huge, huge part of our success landing people for interviews, not through you because I met you through Cody, but through most people, we reach out via Instagram DM, just basically like a cold call. We're trying to sell ourselves. And then people can either ignore it and we're fine with that, or they can answer and we can schedule an interview. So how have you utilized the power of a social media DM, if at all?
How do I utilize DMs?
Yeah.
Just sending out messages. It's like cold calls, you know, and some people respond. They're like, is this really you? Or is this, you know, some bot or whatever? I mean, why are you messaging me? That's no different than a cold call. Like, hey, why are you calling me? I mean, I don't know why people get offended by, you know, cold calls, but I mean, it's going to happen. So we've been able to utilize the DM, Cody Kearns and I also have we've got an Instagram course where we tell about every single method we use. I've grown by 6 figures just through Instagram alone over the last year. Cody's built $1 million, 7-figure business on Instagram. And we tell you all the different ways that we use Instagram in order to generate that engagement and that conversation through DMs.
Yeah.
And it's not just using the messaging, it's using the story and doing a poll saying, did you pay more than $500 or less than $500 for your taxes last year? Do you like the green shirt that I had on in this picture or the red shirt that I had on in this picture? Yes or no? the people that respond are going to be the people that engage and respond to you about other things. And so all you're trying to do, it's no different than going to a networking event and saying, hey, I'm Jonathan Frost. What's your name? You're literally just asking them a question. So I don't know if I really answered your question. So it's not necessarily utilizing just DMs. It's utilizing all the different tools that Instagram provides in order for you to create a way to connect and engage with somebody.
Right. No, you nailed it, because I feel like DMs are undervalued, especially today, because people just think that posting on your stories are what's going to land you engagement and new clients. But like a DM is literally like a networking event on your iPhone from wherever you are in the world to just talk whoever you want. So it's just like hugely important. Yeah.
And it's also pretty important to recognize other people's stories. This is one thing that I've learned. Like, you know, when you're putting out a lot of content, and this might sound a little bit egotistical, and I'm sorry if it comes across that way, but when you're putting out a lot of content, you really don't think about watching other people's content very much. You're like, all I'm going to do is just push stuff out there. I'm not going to take any time to watch anybody's stuff. But what I've started doing is I'm like, okay, I got to think about this differently. Like, certain people that I follow are like my referrals. They might not have referred anything to me, but they're my referrals. So I also need to follow their stuff, see what they're putting out there, watch their story, comment on their story, comment on their post, and start to engage with them in conversation so that then I'm at the top of their mind too the next time they're talking to whoever who's complaining about their CPA, so that they go, oh yeah, Frosty just commented on my post. I need to DM him about this opportunity over here.
Exactly. And it's just taking the time to actually give back to other people, especially when
you
take the time to scroll through and actually put a genuine comment on someone's post. Yes. It goes a long way.
And people seeing the video that they probably put a lot of effort into and being like, nice, that looked good, dude. Like, great job. Or in their story, great point.
Exactly. Yep. Being very genuine about it, because just like you put in time to your work and your post and your content, like you can't just expect everyone to come and compliment it unless you're giving back to people that you expect it from, you know?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Give, give, give.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean,
GC says.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Cardone. So we're going to move into the lightning round portion of the interview. You're actually our first guest of season two. So we started this podcast last October, wrapped up season one at the end of our first year of college. And then season two is now started because we just got back in our second year of college. So
nice.
Before we go into it, we always ask the guest if you have any questions for us before we get started. It's just three quick questions.
All right.
So the first question is, if you were in college, our situation that Christian and I are in right now, what type of side hustle would you start and how would you go about starting it?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I would go contact Cody Kearns and I would help him grow people's following on Instagram.
That's dope. So really just like almost finding someone to work under and help them to grow their.
Yeah, I would become an affiliate of some people that I admire and that I follow, because most all of them have an affiliate program, and I would figure out a way in order to bring them value.
That's sweet. Yeah, I really like that. And it doesn't take much time, really, because the business is built and you just have to go and support it. And
yeah, you're literally just going to sell it. And not to be annoying about it, but you're already going to be following that person. So why not learn everything that they keep talking about and then start talking about that yourself and have the link that you send to the person rather than them finding them.
Yeah, I love that answer. That's great.
So this question might take a little bit for you to answer. It's pretty significant, but if you could eat dinner with three people, dead or alive, who would they be and why for each person?
Dang. Oh, So who would you eat with?
Like, if you could have like 30 minutes with any three people, who would they be and why?
Okay. Probably just because of some recent experiences that I'm having, because there is what's kind of happening to me since I put myself out there on social media a little bit more is the polarizing effect of it. You know, when you start to really voice your opinions, you start to create some polarizing point of views. Let's just say that. So my three people, I would start with Jesus Christ, because he's my Lord and Savior. And I think that that would be interesting because he was fairly polarizing and still is to this day, even though he's not alive in the flesh, let's just say. Then I would say Abraham Lincoln, because of what he went through as far as our Civil War and, you know, what it was like to be a leader during such times where there was such another polarizing type, you know, point in history in our country, and how he stayed resolute and in his beliefs and stuck to them no matter what anybody else was saying, and how he kind of brought people around in order to get the votes for, you know, different things. And then I'd say Donald Trump, man, talk about a polarizing person. Who really doesn't seem to care what anybody thinks, no matter what. He's just doing what he feels like is right. So I'd love to sit down with him and pick his brain for a little bit too.
Love it.
That's a stacked lineup.
Yeah.
That's sweet. So that wraps it up for us in terms of questions. We like to end the interview with just you letting our audience know how they could follow you and find you, whether it be on social media, websites, whatever it may be, just because I'm sure they're definitely connecting with you through this podcast and would like to learn more and follow along with your future journeys.
Yeah. So I got to say, I've got a passion for helping college students figure out, you know, what is the real world like, and really understanding what will separate you from the rest when you are looking for a job or going into, you know, deciding to start your own business or anything like that. So I've got a passion for that. And so you can follow me at jdfrost.today on Instagram. That's the best place to follow me. I put content out there on a daily basis. Follow me on Facebook. Just Jonathan Frost is my personal page. And also on Twitter at jdfrost.today. I am actually, I will say, and I would love for y'all to tell some people about this. I have quite a few college students that follow me on Instagram already and comment on books that I talk about reading and things like that. And I'm thinking about starting a private Facebook group that's just $100 to be a part of, one-time payment. And it's going to be called College Moneymakers, and it's going to be a private Facebook group where, I just help college students understand, like I was just saying, what it takes in the real world, what it takes in entrepreneurship, be open to questions and answers. You're a member for a year, and yeah, it's $100, but I only want people that are willing to make an investment in themselves of time and money. And so I will be posting in that group once a week and kind of going from there. So you've got a real perspective from a business owner, entrepreneur, on what habits, disciplines, routines that you need to have in order to make money.
Yeah, that's terrific, because Andre can speak on this, but he actually just started an entrepreneurship club on campus, one that's with a local incubator. So there's definitely a wide audience that would love to hear what you'd have to say. So we'll definitely keep in touch.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sweet, man. Really appreciate you taking the time today.
Of course.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.